welcome to the Reflex Blue Show.
Number 67.
Are we? I love that you're keeping track still. At 5 years, Donovan, I just don't care. We're talking about graphic design. That's just what we do here. We are at 36.HQ. I'm Nate Voss.
Donovan Beery.
That's Donovan Beery. And with joining us for the first time ever today, our friend Aaron Stubbe, the Stubinator. How you doing today?
Doing pretty good, guys.
I'm not sure if I should call you I feel like I want to stick with calling you Stubbe for some reason. But I feel like maybe that's a little too familiar.
It's a classic.
Maybe that's a little bit too Nate and Stubbe. And maybe for the broader world, we just need to say, yo, Aaron is here. Recognize.
That'll work.
So, okay. Thanks for being on the show today. Should we give listeners a little background? You work in Omaha. You're a graphic designer.
Yeah.
You're a friend of the show. So, hey, you're on the show.
It's an honor to be on the show. I listen to it pretty regularly.
No, so. It's not. It is not an honor. Just make sure, since this is your first appearance, make sure you don't say anything stupid or our listeners will just totally stop listening.
We prefer to sound like the dumbest people on the show. We like our guests to step it up a notch.
We don't want you out-stupiding us. That's our job. You need to stay and tell. You need to be the voice of reason.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
No highbrow.
Yeah. Okay. So, Donovan, hey, welcome to the show. How are you doing this week, man?
Doing pretty good.
Drinking some Amber Box today. I feel pretty good. Courtesy of our guest, which is a new tradition. This is our inaugural tradition of the guest bringing some tasty beverages, and I want to say I support that, and I want to see that continue
in the future. It's not a bad trend.
Yeah, it's solid. I'm in support of it. So I suppose we should talk about graphic design. Donovan Beery, what you been designing?
Whoa, we're going to start with that, huh? Well, you know, last time
we are like always supposed to start with that.
Last time we were talking about the SharePoint thing.
Yes. Oh, shit. We need our SharePoint update.
So I've got it installed on the computer, but somehow I have to get access to their SharePoint network and their help desk because of the holidays and such has not gotten me that yet. So I'm still working on that. Well, that's still waiting
on
that.
Okay, wait, because I think I just heard you make that phone call like an hour or two ago. Okay, but that's been like 2 weeks now, yo. Like three because of the holiday, right? How long has it been since we recorded a show?
Yeah, it's
It's been like 7 months, I think.
Right. It takes a while to get access to a network so that I can have the pleasure of using SharePoint.
Right. Yeah, I actually, and this is, Aaron, have you worked with SharePoint at all?
No.
You're kind of nodding over here like you know.
And I haven't had the pleasure.
I was at I think I might have been at a wedding this past weekend, and I was sitting with some very intelligent people, this kind of like highbrow friends getting married, like, okay, we know this person through other ways, and then they roll in a little bit higher brow of a crowd. And so I'm sitting there having this conversation. This guy asks what I do. I say, well, I do this and that, and part of what I said I do is I design websites, and I've been working in WordPress. And with all seriousness, this man turns to me to say that I should be working in something like something else or SharePoint, and here's why SharePoint's great. And he starts listing off a lot of reasons that are initially not reasons that I would ever think that anything was better than something else, like, you know, like having hair on your back is better than being normal, but, you know, sorry, Aaron. just like a whole host of things. I said, oh, that, to me, like in the back of my mind, I'm like, oh, that sounds terrible. And then he listed off, I don't know, a dozen more reasons that were just so completely over my head, like in terms of like programming language. But this guy was all about SharePoint, Donovan.
Okay, well,
do you want me to try to remember who he was specifically and get you in touch with him?
Oh, please. Please do.
No, really. I'm really asking.
Oh, and I'm seriously, yes.
Okay, yeah,
so
I'm picking up on
the other thing we've actually been designing since then was we just launched a new website using WordPress instead of SharePoint. Went pretty smooth.
So how does...
But the advantage of this one was the client had even though it's a small company, so normally their budget outside of the design would be nothing, they're related to a really good professional photographer. So nothing is better than getting the job where the budget is not going to really pay for much except for all of your photos are incredible. And my advice on that is when you get that sort of photos for it, do whatever you can not to mess up the photos Like, you know, use the photos large.
Right.
Right.
Everything is focused on big photo there because you've got it and it looks good. You don't have to overdo it.
I had a job not but a couple months ago where it was like, okay, we got a design system happening. It's all right. And then I got like really great photo. And if you look at that website right now, really big photo on the website. So
not a bad idea.
Any take on that, kind sir?
Well, I just took a class actually on some HTML coding. So I've only done a little bit of web design.
You only do a little bit of web?
Only just a little bit of web. Just starting to get into it.
You know, Aaron, I teach web design.
Do you now?
I can learn you in the ways. You can become my Anakin. And eventually turn evil, but also...
That's a scary thought. Yeah.
You know, you've already got the attractive wife, so she can be Natalie Portman. She's just got to dye her hair. And then in a couple years, you'll make better websites than anyone before. But then you'll kind of fuck it up.
Teach me the ways.
And you're going to have to lose your arm and replace it with like a big gold.
No, Obi-Wan doesn't lose. Then eventually you will stab me.
Well, yeah. Well, that sounds good.
It's worth it. As long as that's the end goal. Yeah. All right. So I want to say, never underestimate the potential of having awesome photography in your projects. Like whenever that can happen, that's great. It's something I tell my students all the time. It's like, yo, if you can get good photos, get really good photos.
Right. So, Nate, what have you been working on?
Well, it's not my turn yet. I'm going to talk to Aaron.
Oh, Aaron.
Yeah. Aaron, what you been designing, man?
Well,
have you heard the what you been designing segment?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, no client names.
Pretty familiar.
What you been designing?
Just wrapped up a logo identity project. It's been about 9-10 months in the making, so
holy,
that was a doozy.
Shit.
Yeah.
Was it for Nike?
No, it wasn't. It was kind of a challenge, actually, because it was for an organization that benefits women. Like, they have programs to help women succeed.
Okay, just sort of general business success?
General kind of resources for women that need, help in different areas. So that was, the project was handed off to me at a point where one of our female designers on staff had started it, and it was kind of like... going back to the drawing board. And
oh, that's a bummer.
She also had maternity leave at that same time, so it was just kind of...
like, here you go, thrown in project. Yep. Yep. All right. Now, you, not a woman...
Right.
Designing a logo for... Now, I had a design project. Donovan, I don't know if you've done this kind of thing, but I had a project where the key demographic was the ladies. And it was like, 21 to 24. 6 maybe was the audience age, and so that is not just like women, that's like the ladies,
right?
But it was me and another dude, and we were the ones working on it, and I feel like we did all right, but I don't feel like we quite tapped into the mindset. Like, how was that process for you as a dude designing specifically for women?
Definitely early on it was a little bit intimidating. I think through research I kind of helped get over that hurdle, and just, I think actually the most challenging aspect of it was avoiding a lot of the stereotypical easy routes that I think a lot of female based logos go down, especially
female.
Exactly.
This.
Yep. The flowing strokes.
This pose plays great on radio, but everyone knows the pose I'm doing.
And the problem is that this client, was kind of a board situation where there really was no one client making the decision.
Oh God.
And some people on the board, which is why it took 9 to 10 months. Mm-hmm. But there were definitely people on the board that were looking for that type of logo.
Right.
One of my very first paid projects was for a women's study program. And, anyone that finds me, I got a great story off the air I'll tell.
You don't want to tell a story now?
No.
Okay. But now, but then that brings up a whole other host of things. And that's like, and Donovan, I know you've done this, is working with a board or a committee as the client instead of a single person. I know you've done that, right?
Yes.
Yes.
I worked at the railroad. I've done that.
Right. Okay. So, like, geez, maybe we could talk about this as we segue later into our actual topic. But, like, that is, you know, at least in my experience, always just been a goddamn minefield. Because, you know, there's all the, like, the crazy politics of it. You got the one dude over there that doesn't like the girl sitting over there because she snubbed him on some, like, measure that they were voting on 6 months ago. And then also at the Christmas party, she did not take kindly to his advances. Then that fucks up your whole logo project. And then you got the old guy that doesn't really want to be on the board anymore, but that doesn't like new things or kids. And even though you're 35, you're a kid. And
I'm starting to wonder if you were at the board meetings.
Oh, Jamie said, like, oh, I forgot to tell you. I was totally camping out, spying on your agency.
Yeah. Okay, Nate, so what have you been working on?
Oh, okay. Well, a lot of the projects that I have been talking about in what have you been designing, still going on, still happening, not quite finished. Though I did have a client allow me to send, they were like, why don't you go ahead and send us the invoice for this before we send you this last round of changes? And if more changes come in, we'll talk about that. So they're not trying to bone me. They're just like, hey, we would like to pay you. I feel like that's
they may want
to
get it through. I mean, it's near end of year. They may want to get it through their invoicing and get it paid.
Also fine by 2010. You know? I don't really have concerns about that in terms of my financials. So, I'm game. Just, I'll get paid. But I was going to tell you, and Aaron, I was showing you this right before the show, as I've actually been working on a logo project for a consumer product, which would be one of my first consumer-facing logos. Like, I've done logos for companies and business-to-business, and, B2B is what they call that in the biz, and, and just logos for just a variety of things. This is kind of my first consumer product logo, and it has to be almost 100% typographic. It's just, like, they're basically looking for a word mark. And it's a very cluttered product category that has a lot of, like, really predefined looks to it that you really can't stray from too far, or people just, or you, like, literally you're just not even going to compete. So it's been tricky. The thing that Donovan, I think you witnessed me dealing with this a little while ago, because I was working on this as we were waiting to do the show, it's a word mark, right? And Aaron, I know you came from the same school of thought,
yep,
as well as same school of school that I did. And, one of the things that always stuck with me is, like, if you're doing a word mark, maybe you got 8 characters. You know, maybe you got 5 letters. If you're AT&T, maybe you only got 3 letters and an ampersand.
Okay, I can see that, yeah.
So those 3 letters and an ampersand need to be completely amazing. They need to at least be the best that they can be.
Right.
Which means
that's the Army, and that's only 4 characters.
Yeah, right. That's all you can be, not the best. Just doesn't have to be the best. Just all you got.
Okay.
But with a typographic word mark, man, like,
it's got to shine.
You've only got so many letters. They need to be great, which means I can't set the damn thing in universe, you know?
You set it in Helvetica and you're done. It's
no,
every time. Every time it works.
Really?
Every time, 60% of the time.
Thank you, Aaron. I'm glad you're... It's like, Donovan, really? Every time you set a logo in Helvetica, it works?
Well, what really ruined that was the blue square.
I don't know that it was the blue square.
Yes, it was.
I think...
They went too far.
You can't use Helvetica in a word mark.
It's a little safe.
You can and you shouldn't. It's too ubiquitous.
Yeah.
It is omnipresent.
The point is to be is differentiation is what you want.
Yes! Aaron, you can come back to the show anytime.
Thank you.
So anyway, so what I ran into working on this logo was going to sites like going to Veer, going to typography.com, which is Hoffler and Frere Jones' website. If you guys don't know typography.com, you oughta. Like, oh God, there's a huge part of me that just wishes I had some sort of subscription fee to that, so that when something new would come out, I could just get it.
Absolutely.
Can
you imagine being like a lot of publications that just get free trial fonts from some of these functions to use?
That would be amazing. I hate that. Anyway,
sorry,
not big enough. I go to these websites and whenever I do a logo, it's very important to me that those characters matter. So I've done a lot of custom type logos, And when that's not available to me, or when I need something that wouldn't be super illustrative, I want to go find something that is unique, that is not like a standard typeface, that isn't in the Adobe Student Font Folio Essential.
House pack. Industries Crackhouse done.
Crackhouse, yeah. Well, but yes, but not something that's been around like Crackhouse, you know, or even like even house fonts in general anymore kind of feel like they've all kind of been around. And I admit I haven't been to House to check out typefaces in a long time.
No, they really haven't expanded much.
What I love was their this came out a couple years ago while I was still in advertising. I can't remember the name of it now, but it was like their G.I. Joe typeface.
Yes, military.
Was it military? I don't think it was military. It was something, but it was like they did like the G.I. Joe poster.
Totally.
And it was like all like, oh God, there had to be 150 typefaces in the set. Yeah. I really liked that.
Yeah, that was really well done.
Very militaristic if it wasn't called military. I can't remember what it's called. Anyway. So I'm using there, like, Veer has Flaunt, where you can type in your word and it'll show it in the typeface. And I feel like that's a little more full-featured. Also, if you're, if you're signed into Veer, they don't F with you. They don't put, like, a Veer logo over the typeface, so you can't show it to your clients. Well, Hoffler and Frere Jones do put, like, dashed lines.
Yeah.
And they do, you know, kind of knock that stuff out for you, so you can see it. But y'all better, should Otter really buy that typeface? And so, but they have a new typeface. It's called Forza. I'm not shilling for them. They didn't pay you. Okay, you already know what I'm talking about.
I love
that's
Forza.
That typeface I was just showing you. That's what it was. But that wasn't really Forza. That was me tracing Forza in Illustrator.
I saw that
so
post
like a ghetto ass.
And it's so
like
you can show
the ass font,
so you can show the client,
so yes. I can comp it out to the client.
I do that
and
all the time,
and it looks terrible. Like upload, like I could never do this, and then send it out as a final logo. If they pick it, then I can justify the cost of the $200 type family, which is amazing, and I would love to have anyway.
Correct.
But I can't. That's a price point that's out of my range currently to just be thrown out there for comps.
Comp everything in Helvetica, dude. I tell you.
No, it's done. No, and you know what? Helvetica, specifically, there were things about the letter forms in Helvetica that did not meet my needs.
Helvetica new?
That's way better.
Done. All right,
By the way, I'm way better on that.
So we'll be back with our topic presenting to clients.
Presenting to clients.
All right.
Dig in.
Okay, so we're going to set this up.
So get in.
So you've created this work. You've done it. You've told the client what you're going to do, and then you have to actually show them so that they can give you feedback on your work.
Is that how we want to present this? After okay, so let's take for granted that we've properly set this shit up. Well,
you've got the job.
I feel like we got to jump in before that.
You've got the job.
Okay, you've got the job. Definitely. Because what we're doing here is we're kind of picking up, we've priced out a job, maybe we know how to get paid, but now we got to talk about how to present that work.
And so you got the job, you're ready to show the first comps to the client. Mm-hmm. That's what we're doing.
Do we need to talk about setting those comps up before you even get into that meeting?
It depends on how you're going to present it.
So. I feel like that's a great discussion point. So, Aaron, okay, you got a client, got to show them some work. Do you set that up ahead of time, or do you go in raw and just show them something that they've given you a brief? But
or do you just show up on the whiteboard and just draw it in front of them?
Mm-hmm.
I got this idea. I'm just going to sketch it right now.
How do you set up that first meeting for success?
Well, I think it does help to. I come at it from an ad agency point of view,
right?
Whereas I think most of the show is. I mean, you guys come from more of a freelancer.
Well, we do now, but I mean, I spent, 5.5-6 years in advertising.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, we when we get ready to present to a client, we definitely meet internally and we, kind of go through it at least once, before the meeting.
Okay, so you do like a dry run.
Just a dry run amongst the design staff.
How many people are in the presentation of the client?
Usually it's the primary designer and the AE, and sometimes
which is account executive for the kids.
Yeah, sorry.
And can we talk about that? how, like, account executives, and I'm stressing that for air quotes, can oftentimes be 22 years old.
Yeah.
I don't know if you run into that where you're at, but, man, I used to... Oh.
Definitely. I mean, yeah. We started out with a pretty young crew. It's not necessarily the case now, but...
Yeah, you're all older.
Yeah.
You're not that young anymore, Aaron. I'm sorry to tell you. Neither am I. Okay, but so... So you do a dry run. The lead designer is there. The account person is there.
Sometimes a creative director or another account person will be there.
Okay. And then how do you specifically, do you do anything that sets up client expectations before you get to that meeting? I think that's what I want to start with. Donovan, I want to know what you think about that too.
I always make sure to let them know before they get there kind of what we have prepared. Because mm-hmm. if you're doing like a full stationery set, maybe you want to start out with just showing them the logo first.
Nobody really does stationery.
Well, maybe if you're doing a full identity campaign for a client, you don't want to actually do everything. You just want to give logos because you don't want to build out this whole thing. Maybe you do want to build everything out.
But
I always kind of let them know ahead of time, this is what we are going to present.
Here's the part of what we're going to show you, of the project that we're going to show you today. Okay. Aaron, do you guys do anything else? Does Aaron Stubbe do anything besides that? I mean, do we talk about mood boards? Do we talk about setting up visual expectations like that?
Sure. Because
I love doing mood boards. It's something that I picked up, from Joe Duffy is that you get the client to sign off on a visual idea ahead of time in the form of a mood board. And then your job is easy. All you have to do is deliver on the promise of that mood board. They show up with an expectation. You show them something that meets that expectation, and you win. This is also why I rarely have to do three concepts anymore.
So a mood board's kind of like a storyboard, just not directed, not...
Oh, shit! Aaron, mood boards are the bomb!
I don't use mood boards. Maybe I will eventually. I don't really use
mood boards. No, mood boards are amazing. So basically, here, and I'm doing the bad thing where I'm turning away from the mic and I'm talking to you, but okay. Basically, what you do with a mood board is you cannibalize everyone else's design. You take little bits and pieces from all kinds of stuff, maybe from magazines, maybe from websites, maybe from calendars, maybe from photographs. It doesn't matter. And what you do is you take – I got to talk with my hands too much. I got to move my drink. And you pare it down and you section off little bits of it that don't show anything in its entirety. Mm-hmm. So you wouldn't show a whole headline. You would show a snippet of some characters of the headline to give a hint of the type style.
Sure.
You show hints of typographic treatments without showing the you show half a paragraph.
Yeah.
And you show bits of color and bits of texture and bits of photography style, bits of design elements, and then all of that comes together and gets organized onto a sheet of paper, a presentation board, an iPad, or whatever. And we're designers, so it usually comes... It's like a structured collage at that point. I've found they work really well when you organize them by color. So maybe you're try to keep your type together, but organize it, on the board. So, like, your yellows are up here, and your pinks are down there, and your reds are in between. And basically what you ask the client to do, you do a couple of these, and you say, okay, squint at this and tell me which one is your brand. And at that point, it's even like super easy for them to say, I don't feel like these things on the mood board work, and just let them yank them off and say, but this stuff from the other mood board does work. And then, you can work that stuff in. But you haven't done any design work at this point. It's super easy to make those kinds of changes. And then once they approve it, and the goal is to get them to approve one. And I've even heard of people just, sitting down with clients and saying, here's a table full of things we've cut out and make a mood board.
That was what Duffy did.
Well, to some, I followed up with him on that. To some extent, he does that. He doesn't, he doesn't let them see everything. They kind of control what's on the table.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But
that's a fantastic approach.
His theory
was that the client's going to be involved. You got to remember, the client's going to be involved at some point. he wanted the client to be involved early, and then they would do everything with no client involvement because the client already had their involvement.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
It went pretty well.
Well, and yeah, and the idea is, you know, they squinted this mood board. They say, okay, that's our brand, and then you have a roadmap to their brand. You don't use necessarily exactly the same typefaces. You don't use necessarily exactly the same photography, but certainly the style or the style of graphic elements, the color palette that is outlined in the things that you're showing.
This sounds like a great way to set up just a bunch of versions of Helvetica to let them choose from and to let them know.
True. Light, using Helvetica, bold, extra bold, black.
Was their choice.
Right. So I fucking, like, as soon as I remember I was still working in advertising when I first heard this, and I was with, you know, several of my peers, none of my bosses, and it was a huge upsell to try to get them to convert to doing this type of process.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they continue to do it to this day, but every time I was able to do that, we were able to get that mood board approval. And then they have an expectation. Then they show up in the meeting and they see something that meets or exceeds that expectation in the same, like, realm. And I've never had a client come back and say they don't like it.
Yeah, I imagine they would love it. I mean, it gets them involved. It's probably less intimidating of a process for them to be involved in the brand mm-hmm. early on. So
well, and it lets them create an investment in the project.
Yes.
An investment between themselves and the work. You know, it eliminates the mystery. It eliminates them having an idea of what they want to see in their head and you not showing up with that idea because you never talked about what that idea is. You know, you as a designer can sit and work out a problem, come up with a great solution, but maybe that wasn't the solution that they were kind of nebulously thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
But the mood board eliminates that.
It's fantastic.
And it takes their nebulous idea and it turns it into something that you both have on paper.
Now, this would be probably involved in a session before you're supposed to present your first
proof. Oh, shit, yeah. This is 100% setup.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Like, and
like a first client meeting kind of approach.
That's probably second or third client meeting.
Second, well, sure.
Depending on how many client meetings you have.
Yeah, if you've already established that you can get the job.
Oh, like, I'm going to do a mood board this weekend. It's for an ebook. I'm super pumped about it. Well, it's not a proper.
Okay, so let's get.
But anyway, so yeah, so that's all set up.
One quick question: how long do you usually spend on a mood board? How in depth is the process?
Well, it depends. Like Duffy and those guys, like they've got filing cabinets just filled with this shit, and it's all organized by like color and thing and whatnot. I will attend a couple hours.
All right, here's what you get: you get a filing cabinet filled with different types of Helvetica. Filled with Pantone chips consisting of 185 red.
I was going to say 186, yeah.
185 and 186 red and black. So they feel that there's some choice there. And then a bunch of photos of
there were no
probably
photos.
My headshots.
There were no photos.
And then you're like, this is your brand.
Let me say.
Help me out. You got
Russian peasants.
Four versions of my headshot and then a photo of Russian peasants.
Mm-hmm.
The two reds and the black, and then like eight versions of Helvetica.
That about to do it.
That's a kick-ass mood board for a student project.
It's a kick-ass mood board for about any project.
The last thing I was going to say is one of the things I do, Aaron, a lot of times is I will go out and find magazines that relate to that industry or to that client or to that audience, and I'll use those to cannibalize. Okay, done with the setup. Was that? Should we keep going?
We're nope, that's it.
Half
we
hour.
Are...
Let's come back and actually talk about how to present.
Presenting. Now, back in the old days, and I'm basing everything in our industry based on Mad Men.
I was going to say.
Because that is basically accurate from what
bastard.
I can read. Yeah, I mean. The fact that we didn't drink like five martinis at lunch makes
we're
me
drinking
realize,
beer now. This is
but
the,
it's after
this
lunch.
Is the 2000s version of Mad.
It's like after
drinking,
5 o'clock. It doesn't
drinking
even count.
Amber Bock
doesn't even count.
Amber Bock
should have been
in comparison
straight vodka
yeah,
starting at
true.
Like 8 in the morning.
True.
So every presentations to clients were pasted on blackboard. Brought you know client comes into meeting place, put on easel.
Yep.
You know, there's the flap over it. They
pull the flap back.
They pull the flap back.
Very Mr. Mom style.
The reveal.
Yeah. Right. And then there'd be another easel next to it. Another one. Yeah. Another reveal. There's always a story involved.
Schooner Tuna.
Right.
Yeah.
Is this still how you would present, Aaron? And I know certain people obviously still present this way. Certain people still use fax machines. So, I mean, you know,
okay,
certain
people aren't. You have a fax, Donovan. You can't be ripping on people with faxes.
It's not turned on right now. If someone wants to send me a fax, they have to tell me I have to go plug it in.
Okay, fair enough. But so, that's like the traditional view of presenting.
Which,
right?
I would say that by and large, in my experience, that's what we still do.
It is advertising.
Okay, so now I feel like a douche.
Advertising is different. I think advertising is going to be more traditional in presentations than new school design, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I would agree with that.
Yeah. A little bit more like embedded establishment virtues there.
Yeah.
Pathos, let me say.
There's just, you know, there's always the argument of, you know, do you want these printed out, looking nice, glossy, matted, for the clients to be able to get their hands on, take it back, you know, let it sit on their desk for a while. They feel a sense of ownership about
that. Do you let the clients take all the boards with them?
Not always, but we do offer it to them if they need to.
One of the things, this was at my very first job up the street at company I would love to name right now, that I remember they learned halfway through my employment there was, yo, we should stop letting our clients take these presentation boards home. Because what they would do is they would take the boards home and then look at them together and then take a little bit of this one and put it with a little bit of that one and basically ruin the project. They stopped doing that. And I believe they started seeing a little bit more success.
Mm. Okay, here's some of the things that I have found to work okay for me. I don't mount on boards necessarily, but I do print each sample on its own thing if people are coming in the office.
Talking about print work? Because you do a ton of web work. Do you print your web work?
No, I feel that work should be presented as close to as it would be seen in the real world as they're going to see it.
So if it's fantastic web work,
yeah, absolutely.
It's a JPEG that's seen on screen. A lot of times when you're doing web work, it's not for somebody local, so you have to mail it. But preferably, I like to call them and walk them through it while they click on it the first time. Mm-hmm. If at all possible. If you're doing print samples, and I do print them out, not necessarily mounted, but they're on separate sheets, I don't do the unreveal thing, but I do explain to them, these are the things we were aiming for based on your conversation, and mm-hmm. this is what we achieve, and at that point, do the reveal. So there's kind of like you set up an expectation, you tell them a little bit about what you did, and then show them at that time. Since you're given multiple samples, as I think Steve Hartman said when he came into town, you know, the typical it's three samples that you show somebody. Only one's going to be selected. If you show someone three samples and they're only select one, realize that 2/3 of your work's going to be rejected.
Yep.
But if you show, you know, we went in, I went to a client's site, I gave them three samples, and they were kind of deciding between two. The other one, they weren't. They're like, that's not the direction. That's not a big deal because they still like the other two. So you immediately just kind of take that one and either remove it, turn it upside down.
Yeah, get it out. Get it out.
Wad it up, light it on fire in front of them. I don't really care.
That'd be fucking balls out. Just crumple it up, fucking throw it against the wall. Fine. Okay, what do you think about this?
Right. But don't have them take home the ones that they're not sure about, that they don't like, because then they may like, oh, look at this, or it might remind them that they didn't like everything you showed them.
This one would be better if
it's not bad they didn't like everything you showed them. You just don't want to remind them of that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So at that case, like in this case, the two samples were left with the client who then, you know, showed them to her staff. But the other one, it was in my bag and gone. It was, you know,
get it out.
Never seen again.
As quickly as possible. Now, Aaron, one of the things that you brought up specifically, which is different to my experience in advertising, was that the art director / designer is in the meeting, which in both of my advertising jobs was never the case. Almost never the case.
Not even the creative director or just...
Well, the creative director would go like in the initial one, but eventually the designer was just not a part of the client interface process.
Yeah. And that's common where I work sometimes too.
I guess that's an advertising thing.
I think you're right.
And fuck that.
Yeah.
But okay.
It's like the telephone game. I mean, that message is going to get distorted.
It's exactly like the telephone. That's why I hated not being in that meeting.
Right.
But you're in that meeting is what I'm hearing here. So how do those meetings go? Like you've got, okay, let's just say it's a typical meeting. You got your account person in there. You got your designer in there. And I think a lot of our listeners, you know, don't necessarily work solo like we do. I think they're more in a situation like what you're describing. How do you handle that? How's the rapport? Do you get like a good cop, bad cop thing going? Do you get like a Three Stooges kind of vibe? Like, what do you guys do?
Well, it's not really that all that structured usually. I mean, I wouldn't say I'm in every meeting. It depends on the client.
Sure. Of course.
But
the meetings that you are in.
Usually it's our practices, the AE will start it off. Because they have that closer relationship. That's basically their job, is mm-hmm. to know the client. And then, you know, you start with what were the expectations of the project?
Kind of like what Donovan said. Set up, here's what we talked about before.
Yeah.
That's good.
I like that, too.
Because I feel like then, we can reach consensus on
then,
that.
Then, you know, if you remind them of what you were going for based on the conversation, then even if they... then you're setting it up to where they don't necessarily have to love it themselves, because they can start to see like, oh, you're meeting goals.
Yeah.
Which is more important than, you know, do you love it personally? And you're like, well, purple's my favorite color. So if it's not purple, I'm not going to love it. But it doesn't matter, because right. you remind them that the goals are 185 red.
Well, right. And they understand they understand the thought process of where you're going, even if it's not the right path. They know that they understand where it was coming from.
Right. It also, I also feel it gives them an out to where if they don't like something, they can be like, oh, well, they were taking direction. Maybe if we give them different direction, they would provide something closer to what we were actually thinking.
Wouldn't that be great? Sometimes clients are just a-holes. Sometimes they're just going to be like, no, this is wrong. And I didn't say red. I said red-er. You know, and then you can just eat shit. And that will happen again. We should talk about eating shit on the next show. When to eat your client's shit and when not.
I'm obviously presenting to the wrong clients.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Same here.
If you're not eating shit, I feel like you're presenting to the right clients. But, right. Okay. I feel like I've had two beers during the show and now it's impeding my ability to run a perfect show.
Well, that's a good trend I started then.
Thank you. I appreciate that trend. So Donovan, we're running really short of time here, and you had noted that you would like to maybe split this
right
into two parts.
Yes, we're gonna actually wrap this one up, and we're gonna come back in 2 weeks and maybe talk about actually the pitch itself. And
let's talk about
how to take the feedback from the client once they give it to you.
I love that. But yeah, I feel like we've kind of covered some basics. We've covered the setup tonight. We've covered, you know, maybe how to have, you do it as a single person, do it as a team. You know, that team dynamic is really important. You don't want to feel like you're just the guy that's there. I'm just the that was always my problem, being the designer in those meetings. Mm-hmm. It was like I felt like I'm God in some cases.
You're the peon?
Either peon or for fuck's sake, for lack of a better word, the eye candy, the hip dressing dude that's just there to look like they have someone creative on the staff that doesn't get to speak. I was invited to meetings where I was not there. I was told very specifically, you are not allowed to talk.
Here's what you do.
But fuck off.
Bring a notepad and make it look like you're jotting things down so that it looks like you're paying attention.
I would do that shit and I resent it. I better look like I'm fucking awesome over here, but literally, like, almost like invited as eye candy. So yeah,
you
obviously
know,
I
nod
have
and
issues.
Smile,
right?
Call it good.
Yeah, I don't know about smile. I think if you're trying to be that smooth designer who doesn't get to talk, you're gonna be like, fuck this shit.
Look,
I got
like
ideas
to radio
chilling
man.
Right now. We should ask Steve Gordon about that. How would he handle that? Because you know, one of the things that doesn't get talked about, and maybe we can if we can invite him on the show next time. Steve's had a lot of jobs that were not working for Steve, so maybe we can get him to talk about that experience of presenting
work
as well. We should talk. Real quick, what's happening? What's update? News of the world style event here on the Reflex Blue Show. Yeah, there's no news right now. there's goddamn nothing happening.
No. Everyone is like Thanksgiving to Christmas. They're just in go mode.
Yeah. You know, are you in go mode or is it lightening up? I guess I'm in go
mode. It's holiday go mode.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But it's like, stay the course. It's not new stuff. It's just finish stuff up, call it good for the year, start up new things in January.
Is that happening? Because I'm like, I know it's like December, like 2nd or 3rd, we're recording this show, and I'm just like, I'm already thinking about January, like, okay, I need to be lining up those jobs, but everyone's going on vacation.
That's the phase that we're in, where we're trying to
get January.
Quarter one.
You're really trying to get in people's budgets for January.
Right.
You won't actually get the job because your client's already like, nah, I'm making my vacation plans already.
Plus, you already got to take into consideration, you know, the pressmen are on, you know, everyone's going to be on holiday break, so everything's got to be
done. Yep. Effing December. Okay, so that's it. Competition update. Want to let you know that the Print and How Color and Design Awards deadline just passed, and there's nothing really happening with How design competitions till March, which is when their promotion design awards happen, which is kind of like, I've always felt like that used to be self-promotion. It used to be just for design firms. And then it was like self-promotion for clients, which is literally 100% of client work. And then, so I don't really understand the promotion design awards, but it's happening. Deadline's in March. Next one that's actually coming up, and I've got windows open all over the place here, is the Communication Arts Illustration Annual. Deadline, January 7th. So really not a lot happening right now in terms of competition deadlines. I'm considering for the very first time entering the Communication Arts Design Illustration Competition. By the way, Donovan, Print Regional Design Annual just came out.
Oh, yeah.
Blow it up, dude. Boom.
For those who listen to the show, the project that we did where we brought in Steve Hartman, Justin Ahrens, and Christine Taylor.
Oh, my God. We need to have Christine back on.
Finale.
Talk about Darth Vader some more.
Made print.
Yeah, that was the very first time I was ever in print magazine. All I had to
myself as well
was bring in three designers infinitely more talented than I was to work on a project with them. And then finally,
and you can still get one of those posters if you donate money to the Life in Abundance nonprofit.
Head on out there. You can own a piece of Print Regional Design Annual history. I feel like I'm sitting way too far away from the mic to properly wrap this up, but have we reached a wrap-up point?
Aaron, we'll, thanks for being on the show, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Yeah, you're going to come back in 2 weeks. We're going to keep talking about presenting to clients, right?
Right. One word. We'll
although we're gonna have Steve bring drinks next time.
All right.
If hopefully we can get him.
Maybe he'll bring something.
Yeah, if he ain't too effing big for us in 2 weeks, which with him is always a problem. Okay, thanks for listening to the Reflect Blue Show. Throw your comments online up at 36point.com, and we will see you later, and we will finish this mess up.